of Terah, a descendant of Noah, and he lived with his family and wife, Sarai, in the land of Ur. Terah, his father, took part of the family and moved from Ur of the Chaldeans to Canaan. But before they got there, they stopped in Haran and settled there instead. Let's take a time to pray to God. Lord Jesus, we pray for open hearts and minds to hear your quiet voice speaking. May your servant speak your words of faith and trust. In your name, amen. Our scripture today is Genesis 12, and I didn't get the page number. Page 15, we'll be reading from 1 through 9. The call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh of Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. I have two parts to my sermon, but then you will have two parts of Rick's sermon. So, four parts altogether. God calls Abram and his wife Sarai, but they cannot see the whole plan. They faithfully respond with trust and obedience. God calls Abram to leave his family and go to an unspecified land. Imagine that. Rick and I don't have much family around here to leave. We have a little bit, but not all of you, have a lot of family that you would be leaving if God called you to just get up and go. Now, this call to Abram was considered the second call that God made. The first call was for the world to be formed into living things and beings. the second call, God calls Abram and his wife to go and create a new community. This community will become Israel and later the church. Remember, God is calling Abram and his wife from nothingness. They have no children. They have no real future. They have no land to become a great nation. And God tells Abram that his descendants will be a nation covering the earth. He has nothing. And God says, you're going to have everything. What? But Abram, he doesn't even ask how. But he could have. He has no future or hope for his family. He and his wife are old, at least 75. They have no descendants. How could they be a nation covering the earth? In this call, we see the foreshadowing of the empty tomb of nothingness into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now God calls and he continues with 7 promises to Abram. And these promises can only come from God. They cannot come from Abram or anything he can do. Hear these promises given to Abram. 1, I will make you into a great nation. 2, I will bless you. 3, I will make your name great. 4, you will be a blessing. 5, I will bless those who bless you. 6, whoever curses you, I will curse. 7, all people on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. If God told you all those promises, I don't know if I could even stand up anymore. That's overwhelming. How can Abram do this? Abram has faith in God. He has faith that God will do as he promises. Abram trusts God to do what he says. Is it a dangerous endeavor? Yes. Is it convenient? No. Is it comfortable? No. Will this make sense to the community around him? No. But Abram does not question. He does not balk. Abram obeys, trusting that God will supply the answers along the way. In fact, Abram does not even see these promises fulfilled in his lifetime. The call of Abram teaches us about how God calls believers today. When God calls us, we rarely see the whole plan. Our response, however, is to trust and obey in faith. Does God still call us? Absolutely. God calls each and every one of you through his Holy Spirit, who gives you strength to respond. We may not always understand where God is leading or why, but we are still invited to trust that God's plan is good. Let me share a brief story from one of my devotions this past week that reflects this type of calling from Guidepost Devotional, written by Pam Kidd. One day I was driving home and I kept feeling this strong nudge in my heart. Give your blue car to Billy's family. Honestly, my first response was, no way. We had just bought another car with a small inheritance, and selling the blue one would help us financially. But that thought kept coming back. Give your blue car to Billy's family. I had gotten to know Billy through volunteering at the elementary school, and as I came to know his family better, I realized how serious their situation was. They were living in fear, and they had no way out of their situation. The more I learned, the more I knew God was asking us to do something. So I went home and said to my husband, I think we're supposed to give Billy's family our blue car. It was not easy, but deep down, we both knew it was the right thing to do. There was a lot that had to happen after that, but God made a way. And I will never forget watching Billy's mother drive away, knowing she now had the means to gather her family and leave. It did not make sense on paper, but God had spoken, and they simply trusted and obeyed. God had spoken to this husband and wife in the quietness, calling them to give their car away to someone who truly needed it. Let me share another personal story about God's calling in Rick in my own life. In the summer of 2006, Rick felt God was calling him to go back to school, to seminary. My first thought was, wow, that's wonderful. But we had two children, and they were in private school. We owned our own home, and we were already struggling to make ends meet. Logically, it just didn't make sense, and yet, in my heart, I knew this is what Rick was supposed to do. I remember wondering, how are we going to pay for all of this? And I thought about getting a job. But I quickly realized that I was going to be needed to get the kids off to school and be home when they came back and bus them to their activities. Even so, God provided. He opened the door for me to do some house cleaning and childcare work. And to this day, Rick and I cannot fully explain how we managed to pay bills for 4 years, except God made a way. If we tried to work it all out on paper, it simply didn't add up. And believe me, I tried many times. God took us out of our comfort zones. He had a plan for our lives, even when we could not see it. I can already hear some of you thinking, well, I'm not called to be a preacher or a missionary. But God's call is not always about a profession or a career. Sometimes God simply nudges us to do something out of the ordinary. Maybe God nudges you to pay for someone's meal, send a card, make a meal, or quietly help a neighbor in need. God can call us to all kinds of things. Our part is to listen for that quiet voice and obey, even when we don't understand. Sometimes that call will take us out of our comfort zone. This week, I was asked by General Synod President Sarah Paulsma to pray at General Synod at the end of one of the plenary sessions. I knew right away God was stretching me, and I said yes before I had much time to think that I would be speaking in front of over 300 people. Please keep me in prayer. People of God, the Christian life is not always meant to be comfortable or carefully planned. Many times God will stretch us, but God has given us the Holy Spirit to encourage and sustain us. So ask God to align your life with Him. Pay attention to those nudges and respond with faith and trust. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, quiet us so that we may hear your calls. Help us, Holy Spirit, to obey when God calls and trust you with our lives and all that you have given us. Keep us from being too comfortable in our homes and churches, but make us uncomfortable as we pick up our cross and follow you. In your precious name, amen.
Rose spoke about Abraham's response to God's call, and I'm going to speak to you about Matthew and his response to God's call. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of Christ, our rock and our refuge, and all God's people say, the reading is from the book of Matthew, page 1385, the first gospel, chapter 9. Just a short reading. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew who was sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." People of God, the word of the Lord. As Jesus was walking along, he noticed a man named Matthew sitting at a tax booth. Jesus said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed Jesus. Period. Church, that preaches. Matthew does not see the whole plan. He does not receive a 5-year strategy or a detailed roadmap. He receives a call and he responds. Jesus calls him to leave his profession and step into an unspecified mission. Along with the other 11 disciples, Matthew will form a new community with Jesus. A community that will eventually be the Church of Jesus Christ. How can Matthew do this? Because Matthew, like Abraham before, trusts in God. He has obedient faith. He rises from his seat and he gets up on his feet and follows Jesus. He's ready to walk where Jesus walks and he's ready to go wherever Jesus goes. Is it dangerous? You bet. Is it convenient? No way. Is it comfortable? No. Will it make sense to all the people around him? Probably not. But Matthew does not question or hesitate. He obeys, trusting Jesus, trusting that he will supply the answers along the way. But now we have to ask the question, who is Matthew to receive God's call? In the eyes of the world, Jesus made a questionable choice. Matthew was a dreaded tax collector, despised and rejected by society. He was a social outcast, a real scoundrel, a traitor. Many would have said he was too far gone, beyond the reach of God's grace. Tax collectors were hated for three reasons. Number one, they were known to be greedy, skimming money off for themselves. Number two, they aligned with Rome, funding the military power of the Roman Empire. Number three, they were ceremonially unclean, constantly interacting with Gentiles. There's really no perfect modern comparison, but think of a corrupt IRS agent who sends your hard-earned tax money over to Moscow instead of D.C., and the money is used to fund the war against Ukraine. No, thank you. So why? Why would Jesus choose a person like Matthew? Because in the eyes of God, Matthew was more than his resume. He was a human being created in the image of God. He was a potential disciple with gifts and skills that God could redeem. And his very name, Matthew, do you know what that means? Maybe you know what it means. Gift of God. Matthew understood finances. He knew how to navigate boundaries. He could move between Jew and Gentile, between Roman and Greek, speaking multiple languages. And God would use all of that as the gospel moved beyond the boundaries of Israel to the nations of the world. Many second-guessed Jesus' choice, including the Pharisees. They didn't understand this, so they interrogated Jesus' disciples. Why? Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Overhearing their conversation, Jesus answered them himself, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You know, if Jesus only called perfect people, there would be no disciples. There would be no people in the pews, and there would certainly be no preachers in this pulpit. Does God still call people today? Absolutely. Through the Holy Spirit of God, he calls each one of us and gives us the strength to respond with faith, even when we don't understand where he is leading us or why. Let me share a personal story. In the spring of 2010, Rose and I felt God calling us to plant a prison church. I had just graduated from seminary, and logically, it didn't make any sense. Wouldn't it be easier to accept a call from an already established congregation? But in our hearts, we knew that it was God's will for us, that God was calling us to plant a church in a correctional facility. I remember thinking, who am I to be a church planter? I pictured someone young with a full head of hair, designer glasses, and perhaps wearing skinny jeans. That was definitely not me. But after attending a church planter assessment course, we received a word of affirmation. You can do this with God's help. And that made all the difference. Now, I can hear some of you thinking, well, I'm not called to be a preacher or a missionary, but God's call is not always a profession. Sometimes God calls us to do something small, yet holy. Pay for someone's meal. Send a card. Make a meal. Help a neighbor. Or offer mercy where judgment is so much easier. Our role is simple. Listen for God's voice and obey his call, even when we don't fully understand. Still, the question remains, who am I? Who are you? Who are we to hear God's call? I can hear the pushback. I'm just a simple man from Marion. I'm just a regular guy from Greece. I'm just an ordinary gal from Gates. In your own eyes, you may not feel worthy. Henry Nouwen once wrote, "We continue to put ourselves down as less than Christ. Thus we avoid the full honor as well as the full pain of the Christian life. But the Spirit that guided Jesus will also guide you." So who are we really? In God's eyes, we are image bearers. We are children of God the Father. We are part of the family of God. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And you know what? That makes us princes and princesses. We're royalty. We may not perceive our own worthiness, but in Christ, we are worthy to hear God's call, receive God's call, and respond to God's call. So rise up, get off your seat, and get on your feet, and get ready to follow. Get ready to walk where Jesus walked, and get ready to go where Jesus goes. Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You know what? The church is not a museum for the saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Friends, God does not call perfect people. There aren't any in here, and there aren't any out there. Sometimes God's call will push us right out of our comfort zone. Often he will shake us loose from the ordinary. People belonging to God, we're not called to be ordinary. We're called to follow the one who is extraordinary. So get ready. Get ready for an adventure. Get ready to embrace the uncomfortable. Get ready to love the unlovable. And get ready to follow Jesus. And remember, you don't follow him alone. You're part of a community of disciples. God loves you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. And Jesus reminds you, "Surely I am with you always." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, let's pray. Heavenly Father, still our restless hearts, so that we may rest in you. Quiet us, so that we may hear your call. And with your help, may we respond faithfully to your call. Holy Spirit, make us obedient and trusting. Keep us from getting too comfortable. Transform us. Make us bold. Give us strength and courage that we need to pick up our cross and follow you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.